Imagine spending like $5,000 on a new ad campaign. You do everything right. You get the exact volume of traffic you projected, you know, thousands of eyeballs hit your site, and you make exactly $0.
Oh, it is a very specific, agonizing kind of pain.
Not a single sale, not one sign up.
Right. You feel like you did the work, but the universe just decided to reject it.
Welcome to today's deep dive. We are pulling from a really fascinating stack of sources today, a collection of conversion optimization briefs and analytics reports to dissect this exact nightmare.
Because it happens to everyone.
It really does. Our mission today is exploring this highly specific, incredibly frustrating scenario that every business owner or marketer faces, when a campaign looks perfectly finished, gets real traffic, and yields absolutely nothing.
And we aren't just talking about abstract theory here. The source material anchors this in a very specific, glaring analytics signal.
Right. Picture your analytics dashboard, specifically GA4. You are looking at a row of data, direct traffic. For those who might not live in these dashboards, direct traffic usually means people who bypass Google or social media and just typed your URL directly in.
They saw you out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But in this scenario, the dashboard shows 101 sessions from direct traffic and exactly zero conversions. Okay, let's unpack this. Because when we see zero conversions, our gut reaction is usually to blame the ad, right? Or tweak the audience or rewrite the headline.
Because doing that makes us feel productive.
Right, but you're going to explain why that is almost always the wrong fix. Whether you are running a massive corporate campaign or a small side hustle, this deep dive will completely change your definition of what a finished project actually is.
Yeah, so we have to start by diagnosing the exact symptom you just mentioned. Like, why does traffic arrive and do absolutely
It's
nothing?
maddening.
It really is. The source briefs call this the finish trap. You see, a campaign feels done to you, the creator, when your checklist is complete. The page is live, the emails are written.
Right, the posts are ready.
Exactly. But here is the critical difference. Warm audiences, people who already know you, they will forgive logical gaps by just filling them in with their own memory and trust.
Right, they give you the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, but a stranger from cold traffic,
Yeah.
they will not do that.
Wait, direct traffic is usually assumed to be warm, right? People typing the URL or using a bookmark. It is like building a beautiful storefront, turning on the open sign, but forgetting to hire a cashier. The checklist is done, but the store doesn't work.
What's fascinating here is that zero conversions from a meaningful volume of direct sessions proves the page isn't earning the transaction when it actually counts.
So it's not a traffic problem.
Not at all. It signals a structural problem on the page itself that is just actively losing people.
Wow.
Yeah, so throwing more ad spend at it, that won't fix this specific leak.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. If it's a structural problem, why is our first instinct always to rewrite the copy?
Well, because of what the sources call the alignment illusion. We assume that creative quality, you know, a punchy headline or an urgent call to action, is the ultimate fix.
Right, we want to wordsmith it.
Exactly. But creative quality is actually downstream of a much bigger issue, which is alignment.
Meaning what exactly?
So imagine a beautifully written page built for a visitor who is thinking, I need to understand why this product exists.
Okay, an educational page.
Right. But that page will completely fail for a visitor whose mental model is, I already know what this is, I just need to understand the pricing.
Oh, I see.
Both of those visitors are real, but the page can only serve one if it wasn't built with that exact distinction in mind.
Which leads right into what the sources call the copy-paste problem, right?
Oh, it is a huge issue for small businesses. People constantly reuse templates from a past successful campaign for like a totally new offer or a different time of year.
Right, they just swap out the words.
Yeah, the new campaign looks right visually, but the underlying assumptions about the reader from the old campaign stay embedded in the structure.
Wait, give me an example of that.
Okay, say you use a Black Friday template for a spring educational launch. The Black Friday structure assumes the visitor wants a quick discount and already understands the product.
So it's super aggressive.
Exactly. By reusing that layout, you are essentially designing a page for a ghost. The visitor you built the structure for isn't there anymore.
So if reusing old structures imports the wrong assumptions, how do we actually structure a page for a cold visitor? Like, what does the physical layout actually need to look like?
Well, this brings us to the module order problem, the architecture of persuasion.
Okay.
The typical default landing page approach is usually, you know, hero section at the top, then some features.
Right, followed by a testimonial and then a CTA at the bottom.
Exactly. We see it a million times a day. But that exact sequence fails miserably for cold traffic.
Why? That's like the standard internet layout?
Because the hero section asks a skeptical visitor to care before they have any logical reason to do so. And then the trust signals, the testimonials, they arrive way too late.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, skeptic needs their specific objections acknowledged before they will read the pitch. If the pitch comes first, they just bounce.
Wait, so you're saying it doesn't matter how good my features list is if I place it above my trust signals for a cold audience? The sequence of the conversation is actually more important than the words.
Yes, exactly. Sequence dictates whether the visitor feels understood.
That is so wild. Okay, so now that we understand sequence matters, what about the actual volume of information? Because there is a major tension in the source material about this.
Still a great debate. Yeah.
Right. There are two opposing schools of thought when a page isn't converting. School A says, you know, give them more information, fill in what they are missing.
Right.
But school B says remove friction. Just delete anything the visitor doesn't absolutely need to reach the CTA.
And the sources have a very specific take on this.
They do, but I have to say, I strongly disagree with the sources here. I take the side of less is more.
Really?
Absolutely. I mean, in today's attention economy, friction is just the enemy. Long pages scare people away. Nobody wants to read a novel to buy a t-shirt.
Well, this raises an important question because the source's true point is that both schools of thought are right.
How can both be right?
It just depends on the visitor.
Yeah.
A highly skeptical visitor actually needs more evidence, not less.
I guess if it's an expensive product, sure.
Right. To a skeptic, friction isn't annoying, it's proof. But a visitor who is already sold and just confused about next steps, they need less, not more.
Ah, okay.
So a page that can't tell the difference between these two mental states will always be wrong for half the people visiting.
That is frustrating. Because since a static page can't magically shift its length for every individual visitor, how do you figure out what the audience needs before you launch and waste thousands of dollars?
That is exactly where DayClerk's audience simulation comes in. Instead of building the whole campaign and checking analytics weeks later, simulation surfaces, behavior paths, friction points, and drop-off risks for each segment before a single line of copy is written.
Wow, so you know what's going to fail before you even build it.
Exactly. This output is what should shape your module order and your tone.
Getting those structural decisions right before launch is really the ultimate leverage point. And, you know, to help you master this, make sure to grab the new free marketing guide from DayClerk at dayclerk.ai/playbook2026.
It's such a great resource.
It really is. Inside, you'll find a repeatable framework for high converting campaigns, how to eliminate the guesswork before you spend a dollar, and optimization tactics that compound over time. Again, that is dayclerk.ai/playbook2026.
I highly recommend checking that out.
But okay, let's say someone listening wants to audit their existing campaigns right this second. No software, just looking at what they have live. So what does this all mean? How do they actually apply this?
Well, it comes down to three crucial questions a business owner must ask about their current campaign.
Okay, what's the first one?
First, what does the Zizzer believe before they arrive?
Right.
Second, what does the page assume they believe?
Oh, that's good. And the third,
where is the gap?
Where is the gap? Yeah, because fixing this doesn't actually require building a whole new campaign, right?
Not at all.
If the page assumes trust that just hasn't been earned or assumes product knowledge the visitor lacks, you just adjust the assumptions. You move modules around.
Exactly. But to do this, you have to do the absolute hardest thing in marketing.
Which is?
You have to read your own work as a complete stranger, not as the creator.
That is so difficult. Our brains just fill in the blanks because we already know what it's supposed to mean.
Exactly. You have to somehow induce temporary amnesia and just look at the structure.
Well, to wrap this up, I think the ultimate lesson from these sources is pretty clear. The campaigns that cost you the most aren't the expensive, flashy builds that fare loudly.
No, not at all.
They are the ones that look finished, run for weeks, and just quietly drain your budget.
All while you wait for the analytics to magically improve.
Exactly. The question isn't, does this look right? But rather, does this work for someone who has never trusted us before?
And that leaves us with a really provocative final thought to mull over.
Oh, let's hear it.
Well, if every landing page we build assumes a baseline level of trust or interest, what would happen if we intentionally designed a campaign that assumed absolute baseline skepticism, or even active hostility from the visitor.
Active hostility, wow.
Right. How radically would that change the internet we interact with every day?
That is a wild thought experiment. Designing a page assuming the person actively dislikes you, it would definitely force you to put your proof up front.
It really would.
Thank you so much for joining us for today's deep dive. We highly encourage you to go look at your own finished campaigns with fresh, skeptical eyes. See where your structure might be failing your visitors? Catch you next time.